Hello, welcome to Reflections on the Scriptures. My name's Murray Shanks. It's great today to have my wife Louise sharing with us from the Scriptures. Thanks, Louise.
We're reading from James 4, 13 to 17. Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you're boasting about your own plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Years ago, I used to work as a midwife at Lithgow Hospital. Lithgow was a small country town and the hospital was a small country hospital. Every now and then, we would have a situation that we couldn't handle, that we needed help with. I'll never forget one night we had a baby that was born too early. We'd tried to stop the labour, but we couldn't, and this little baby was born. He couldn't breathe for himself. He needed a ventilator, but we didn't have one. And so I had to breathe for him using a mask and bag. I did that for 2 hours. In those situations, we used to call Care Flight and they would send a helicopter with specialist equipment and staff from Nepean Hospital. I'll never forget the relief that I would feel when I heard the helicopter arrive. Even now, all these years later, whenever I hear the thump, thump, thump of a helicopter, I find myself thinking, I wonder who's in that helicopter. I wonder whose child is sick, whose family has been turned upside down right at this moment, who started their day with no idea that tonight they would be battling for their life in a helicopter. Somehow the sound of a helicopter reminds me how fragile life is. Watching the news does the same thing. There's another accident on the freeway. Earthquakes in Syria and Turkey. War in Ukraine. More unrest in Palestine. This week we heard of another car full of teenagers that ran off the road, killing 4 young people. I'm seeing people every week in my job. A man on holidays in Thailand banged his leg on the bed and ended up spending months in hospital. An old farmer rolled the tractor. Someone was hit by a car. Someone fell taking the bin out. Just a couple of weeks ago, Murray spent an hour talking to his favourite auntie in Brisbane. 2 days later, we heard that she had died after having a reaction during a CT scan. We don't have morning fogs very often here in Foster. But when we lived at Hartley, there was a fog most mornings. You'd look out the window and there'd be a thin layer of fog covering the ground, just hovering there. Then the sun would come up over the top of the mountains and whoosh, the fog would just disappear. Your life is like the morning fog, says James. It's here a little while and then it's gone. 1 minute you're planning what you're going to do. I'll go there, I'll do that, I'll have this career, I'll make this much money, and the next minute, whoosh, your life's over. Like Murray's dad, paying some bills, getting ready to go fishing, and then slumps forward over his computer. His life's over. We've known so many dear people over the years. Alan, a lovely man from our church, was painting his mum's house. His wife went out to take him a drink and found him collapsed. His life's over. Or Steve, super fit, running a fun run, feels a little unwell, sits down on the side of the track, tells someone, I'm not feeling well. And by the time someone comes to get him, he's gone. His life's over. The statistics on death are quite impressive. 100% of people will die. We're all going to die. And we don't know when it's going to be. And you'd think, with statistics like that, that people would be living with that in mind, making the most of every day, making sure they're ready to face God. But they don't. We don't. We put it out of our minds because, well, it's unpleasant and it's morbid and we don't want to think about it. Not being ready for something that is 100% certain is really foolish. But so many of us live like that. So what does James say about how we should live in light of the fact that our lives are fragile? Have a look again at the passage. Look here, you who say, today or tomorrow we're going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We will do business there and make a profit. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own plans, and all such boasting is evil. What was the problem with how these people were living? Is it that they were planning? I don't think so. In fact, in other places in the Bible, planning is encouraged. If you look in Romans 15, you will see that Paul made quite detailed plans about where he was going and what he was doing. And have a look at this in Luke 14. But don't begin until you count the cost. For who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, there's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it. Or what king would go to war against another king without first sitting down with his counsellors to discuss whether his army of 10,000 could defeat the 20,000 soldiers marching against him? And if he can't, he will send a delegation to discuss terms of peace while the enemy is still far away. The planning is not the issue. So is it that the people were being capitalistic? They're talking about making a profit. I don't think that's the issue either. I think the issue is about sovereignty. Who is in control? Who is calling the shots? See, the Paul that made detailed plans did so guided by the Holy Spirit. In Acts 15, he says, it seemed good to the Holy Spirit and to me. And if you read 2 Corinthians 1, you'll see that Paul was also willing to change his plans when guided by God to do so. James says, what you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own plans. These people were planning their lives, but their plans didn't include God. They were assuming that they were in control of their future and that everything would go according to their plans. James says it should be about what the Lord wants, what the Lord plans, what the Lord wants us to do. God is God. I am not God. God is in charge. I am not in charge. God knows the future. I don't know the future. God has a plan and a purpose for my life. Ask yourself right now, as I have done this week as I prepared this, do I live like I am God? I am in charge. I am the master of my future. I have a plan and a purpose for my life. Or do I live like God is God? God is in charge. God knows the future. And God has a plan and a purpose for my life. I've lived both ways. And I can tell you that the most fulfilling, most successful, most rewarding life is found when I allow God to be God and choose to live His plan and purpose for me. So I know what your next question is because I've asked it myself. How do I know? I want to allow God to be in control of my life. I want to live His purposes for me, but how do I know what He wants me to do? You know, if it were up to me, I'd put it in an email, clear and concise, in steps with details. But I'm not God, thank goodness. For God, it's all about relationship. He wants us to spend time with Him, to cling to Him, to talk to Him, to wrestle with Him. And He knows we wouldn't do that if He emailed us the steps. If you want to hear from God about His plan and purpose for your life, spend time with Him. Talk to Him. Spend time in His Word. Talk to some godly people you trust. Tell God, I want to give you the reins. Show me what you want me to do. And trust me, if you really want to hear it, He'll show you. Finally, I want to look again at the final verses of this passage. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. James says, leaving God out of your plans shows great pride. It says, I don't need you, God. I can do it on my own. It's pride. And you know what? God hates it. He hates pride. Listen to these verses. Psalm 10, verse 4. In his pride, the wicked do not seek him. In all his thoughts, there is no room for God. I will break down your stubborn pride, Leviticus 26, 19. When pride comes, then comes disgrace, Proverbs 11, verse 2. The eyes of the arrogant man will be humbled, and the pride of men brought low. The Lord alone will be exalted in that day, Isaiah 2, verse 11. God opposes the proud, James 4, 6. God opposes the proud. Man, I do not want to be opposed by God. The final verse, verse 17, at first glance, seems somewhat disjointed from the preceding verses. But the word remember, or the NIV says therefore, seems to indicate otherwise. James is saying, I have urged you to take the Lord into consideration in all your planning, to allow Him to be God and to guide every part of your life. So you now have no excuse. You know what you are to do, and if you refuse to do it, you sin. Life is like a morning mist. It's here, it's gone, it's fragile. None of us knows how long we have on this earth. But we can be sure of one thing. One day we will all die. And then we will have to face our Creator God. And we'll have to give an account for how we've lived our lives whilst we've been on earth. For whether we've lived God's plan and purpose for our lives, or whether we've lived our plan and purpose for our lives. Let's bow our heads together. As our heads are bowed, I want you to ask yourself, if I have to face God tonight, can I say with all confidence that God will say to me, "Well done, good and faithful servant"? Or will there be some regret? Will I face God saying, I wish I'd done this. I wish I hadn't done that. Then when you've honestly answered that question, spend some time with God. Talk to Him. Confess your failure if you need to. Commit to starting afresh if you need to. Commit to living your life as He would want you to live, in full surrender and obedience to Him. Say, Lord, I'm tired of being God. I want to let You be God. I hand over the reins to You. I want to live Your plan and purpose for my life. I want to live in full obedience to You. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for the reminder from Your word of how fragile our lives are. None of us knows what tonight or tomorrow or next week will bring. Lord, we pray that we would live our lives recognizing that every day is a gift from You. We're sorry for the way that, full of pride, we crowd You out. We live our lives as if we are God, as if we are invincible, as if we will never have to give account for the way that we've lived to our Creator. Lord, we're sorry. And we pray that You would create in us clean hearts and right spirits, and that we would go into our weeks with only You on the throne of our lives. Amen.